Live from the Jukebox Junction Cafe and Restaurant here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chappell Show along with head football coach at Pisgah, Brett Chappell. This is Chad Upton. We're getting set now to go very quickly in the 2017 season. Pisgah really finishing up their preseason pieces at this point before they prepare for a short week this week. School obviously not back in session yet, but a short week this week and open up the season at Western against Murphy, a very good Murphy team that finished up 15-1 or whatever they were last season, and a challenging schedule to be sure as we go through the year. But this Pisgah team, obviously finishing in the top 10 and in the 3A football polls last year, made a very deep run into the playoffs, had what I thought was a very successful season last year. A number of those guys coming back, a very good JV program to boot. So we do feel good about where this program is and the propensity for us to continue to win. But we'll just start out, Coach, and you can kind of tell me a little bit about, I guess, what you saw last night, the kind of feel that you had. And if you want to go back and look at the scrimmage we had on Wednesday, a couple opportunities for us to get better this week. And again, getting ready to go now for Murphy.
I thought the big thing for us was, as you go back to the first part of practice, is when we started on July 31st. I think we've come a really long ways, not only with the varsity, but with the JVs too. I think we've got just about everything we need in to get ready for a game, from our offensive standpoint to the defensive standpoint to the special teams. I felt like probably on Wednesday, if we would have needed to, we could have played a game. I felt like our kids are kind of ready to be at that point. Obviously, we had a lot of rain and nasty weather last night, and those things happen. But I've been very pleased with everything that has happened so far. We've got a few injuries that we're dealing with, but that's par for the course. Hopefully get some guys healed up and get ready for these first games with the JVs on Wednesday and the varsity on Thursday.
You're talking about both the programs right now. We talked a little bit prior to this point. One of the good things that we've seen is pretty substantial numbers right now in the program in its entirety. And we talked a little bit about this too. In a time where we're seeing high school programs in the last few years, the numbers on roster starting to back down a little bit, whether it's because of families' feelings with regard to safety or other things that the kids may be involved with. We've seen a little bit of drop in the last few years across the country in terms of kids participating. So with that in mind, you got to feel pretty good about the numbers that you've got right now and where the pipeline is, and there's some good quality in those numbers too.
From what we have kind of heard going around in the coaching ranks here in Western North Carolina, numbers have been down a little bit. I think people are starting to see, or coaches are starting to see, the JV numbers decline just a little bit. I know we've got some teams coming up on our schedule that have some lower numbers. Obviously, you saw Mountain Heritage's JVs last night. They were down a little bit from what they're used to. Right now, we're sitting at about almost 50 with the JVs. It seems like we were 48 or 49 kids, and then we're right at 40 with the varsity. So, we got some good numbers. The quality of kids that we're having is still really good. I feel like we got some good kids coming out of those youth programs, and obviously both middle schools were successful last year. So all of these things continue to help us. Obviously there are some concerns with the concussion and the CTE stuff, but I want to feel like that we're one of the programs that's out in front in some of these things is how we go about our practices and the things that we're implementing there to try to keep our kids safe during the week. And then obviously when you're on that Thursday night and Friday night, you get to turn loose and play a little bit. So again, right now our numbers seem to be pretty solid. I continue to think that we're going to move forward with all this technology, whether it be with the helmets and all of these things. But
in terms of execution on Friday nights, especially as we go through the year, do you foresee that with the numbers that you've got right now that you'll have some opportunities to specialize players, or do you feel like there was going to be a number of guys that's going to be going both ways?
We're still going to have quite a few guys going both ways. Obviously, your skill guys usually do, unless you get up into your bigger programs. Where it becomes really critical is how many of those big linemen that you have going both ways. Obviously, harder for those guys to go those long stretches, especially in the early part of the season because of the heat.
Right.
Obviously, the longer the season gets in there and it starts cooling down, it makes it a little bit easier on those guys. So, you know, those become concerns. But, you know, again, everybody's facing that right now, obviously with these early non-conference games. And it seems so early. I mean, we're just...
Yeah, it does.
You know, we're a week away from the first ball game on a Thursday night, really a Wednesday night with the JVs. So just such a quick turnaround right now.
When you look at that, I mean, and again, you know, you're sitting on, you know, week one this week, and with the expectations of playing on into November and December, and you talk about these numbers and those kinds of things. But the next thing I think that occurs to me is just the change that we've seen, and that change, you know, being in terms of dropping down to division, which we knew was coming based on realignment and the way that the state looks at the numbers, but also in terms of this schedule. We're going to play a unique schedule, really, and see some folks that maybe we haven't seen in years, or we haven't seen really perhaps at all. Tell me about your thoughts about, you know, that schedule and the difficulty that might lie ahead and trying to, you know, again, find out who these people are and then be successful.
All right. Well, you know, when we ended up dropping classifications and they moved conferences, we ended up having two small conferences in Western North Carolina. You had what is now the Mountain Six, which is what we're in, and then you had the Western Highlands, both of us sitting there with six teams. The hope was that we would be able to share games with each other out of those two conferences, and unfortunately for us, we couldn't get anybody out of that conference to go with us. So we had to look outside of Western North Carolina, more so than probably what Pisgah has in the past. And in doing so, you know, we got some travels in there, and we got some new teams that are in there. Obviously, the Murphy game, you know, right off the bat, and we were able to keep Inca. Coach Frady was, you know, still wanting to stay on the schedule. You know, it's good gates for both of us, so that was a no-brainer. Obviously, you got your Tuscola game, but it's so much earlier, at least for me. I know that they played it this early before in the past, but early for me. You got RS Central, which will be a new one that will see those guys from down in Rutherford County, and then you got Polk County. But then you got Greenville, Tennessee, which is a really fine program out of East Tennessee. Won a state championship a couple of years ago. They were 11-1 last year. You know, just a really, really good program. Then we'll travel up there to see those guys. So, anyways, just, you know, I'm excited about the non-conference schedule, but a lot of teams we've not seen and don't know a whole lot about. So it'll be some new adventures for us.
And it certainly doesn't get any easier, and we talked a little bit about that last year. It certainly doesn't get any easier when we get into the playoffs, you know, and you start looking at some of those teams. Obviously, Shelby's going to be there again. South Point is going to be there. You know, you're just looking from top to bottom. You know, there's some teams in the 2A that are just as good as a lot of our top 10 3A teams, maybe even some of the 4A teams. So the competition is very solid in that 2A bracket.
And, you know, a lot of the teams that we have seen in the past couple of years in the playoffs drop down. South Point's obviously one of them. High Brighton dropped down.
Yeah.
So we'll see those guys again as well. You know, we were talking about the difficulty in the schedule. You also look at the conference. I know there's only six teams, but, you know, we start off with Smoky Mountain, who was much better last year. I think they'll continue to get better. East Henderson, which obviously got a new coach, but they got some really good skill players. You're bringing Hendersonville into the mix, who's, you know, won or shared that conference out of that Western Highlands for the last 3 years, and, you know, had a chance to play those guys quite a bit when I was at East, so know a lot about those guys, and just so much talent that's there at that school, and the speed and stuff. And then, of course, you got Franklin, who's going to be much better than they were last year. A lot of their starters are back, and, you know, Brevard had the phenomenal year last year, and so you got some tough games that's on the slate. You know, we feel good about where we're at. We got a good nucleus of kids that are back, but, you know, we still got to go out there and compete at a high level on that Friday night.
Go back, if you would, and I always like to hear this, go back, if you would, back to the winter and into the spring, and if you would, talk about just, you know, quickly the kinds of things that you wanted to put in and what your mindset was when you started thinking about preparing for this year.
You know, the big thing was trying to get this new team to have an identity. You know, we really stressed that in the offseason, new leaders emerging. I thought that the seniors that we had last year, a lot of those guys were good leaders for us. And I thought that was something that we, you know, needed to really, thought we had a really good spring in the weight room. We were very busy this summer. I had 4 7-on-7s with some scrimmages. Had a big lineman challenge. You know, those linemen won that challenge again, so that's a big deal to those. They take a lot of pride in that. So I thought we did some really good things. Had some good seniors that emerged as leaders for us. And again, you know, once we get into the season, we'll learn more about what we have and the team that we got with us. But excited about where we're at right now.
Back with more in a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
This is Dr. Richard Jones of Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, a department of Pardee Hospital. I've been caring for Haywood County residents for more than 14 years, specializing in shoulder and sports medicine. Our orthopedic office in Waynesville is staffed by board-certified, fellowship-trained physicians with a weekday walk-in injury clinic. Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics proudly supports Pisgah High School athletics. For more information, go to PardeeHospital.org.
The Brett Chappell Show. I agree with you. It feels like that the season's gotten up on us pretty quickly here, and I think maybe some of that has to do with the fact that we're starting school so late too. We're going to play multiple games before we even get the kids back in the building, so that's you know, a challenge, I think, to some degree. But I think my next question is, you know, you start breaking down and look at individual units and where they are. Obviously, we're bringing a lot of guys back from last year's team. Had a really good JV team last year again, and that program has been solid for several years, it feels like now. But when you think about individual units, Coach, and as far as maybe where you're ahead of the game perhaps a little bit, or maybe where you still feel like we need some work, tell us a little bit about that and where you feel about those individual groups right now.
You know, you had mentioned the JV program and feeling like it's been solid. I think that's one of the biggest things that you know, that I look at, is the consistency. Can we consistently be, you know, good programs, not only at the varsity level but the JV, because we're just feeding each other.
Yeah.
And you know, that's certainly been something that you know, we put at the top of our list, making sure those JVs are brought up to speed as quickly as they can be. I just think it makes things much easier once they get to that varsity level. You're talking about how we feel about the, you know, each individual group on the team now. We got 7 offensive starters coming back, 4 out of the 5 linemen up front.
Uh-huh.
On the offensive side. So we feel like everything will start there with us,
right,
this year. You know, that should be a place that, you know, we should be able to win ball games, you know, based off of what's coming back. Obviously, we feel good about, you know, having Tanner back and some pieces that are back there in the backfield. You got 5 defensive starters coming back, so we got a few more question marks there than we do on the offensive side. Obviously, the one place we were hit really hard from this past season was at linebacker. So the linebacker corps will be some fresh faces that'll be in there, and then there'll be a couple of ones that will be new. But you know, again, these are great opportunities for young men who have played quite a bit, whether it be in a JV program or as backups last year, to emerge and come out and show what they got.
Did you, when you're thinking about what did you want to put in, you know, on both sides, really, what you wanted to put in this offseason, to what degree was the personnel that you knew you were going to have, you know, affected by that?
I think the transition that we had when we changed a little bit of offensive schemes last year, you know, with Coach Brindley coming in and how we wanted to do things, how he calls things, I just thought that we were ahead offensively. Again, defensively, we're bringing in some new guys, so it was going to take us just a little bit longer. You know, been pleased with the scrimmage on Wednesday,
right,
and you know, we were rotating a lot of kids in and out last night. So we kind of, you know, we knew going into it, especially with the weather and 2 different offenses and those things, that we would probably be a little bit behind defensively last night.
Uh-huh.
And we were. You know, as I went back and watched the film last night, it was about what I thought it would be.
Right.
I think our kids recognize that too, because it was something, you know, we talked to them about on Thursday. So, you know, the big thing for us was trying to come out of these scrimmages healthy, trying to have a good game plan going into this first week. And, you know, we'll meet this morning and break down some film on Murphy and get ready for those guys on Thursday night.
Going back to the schedule thing again, so with the games that we've got I can't remember if it's two or three games before the kids back into get back into school. You're going to have to make that transition too. But what are you thinking as far as trying to establish some normalcy for your kids in these next few weeks before school gets back in?
You know, the thing that we have already done, we've already gone to that school schedule, so we're trying to get those kids used to it being on the field at 3:30 and, you know, starting when the mill whistle goes off and all of those things. So, you know, we're trying to get those guys on a regular schedule. I think probably the biggest thing you become concerned with is those kids that aren't working or things like that. Are they sleeping too long?
Yeah.
You know, during the day. But you were talking about how many games, you know, we may have in before school. We're actually going to just have one. The Murphy game will be the only game that we don't have school, and we'll be playing the ball game. I think Buncombe County may have to.
I think when we
play Inca, I still don't think that.
Yeah, we don't go back to Monday.
I don't think they'll be in yet. So, you know, we're fortunate on that side of it. Obviously, this Murphy game will do some things a little different and bring our kids in a little bit earlier that morning. I think we got a breakfast plan for them to make sure they're up and out of the bed and, you know, make sure they got all their equipment and stuff ready to go and load some buses and go to Cullowhee.
We talk a little bit. Each season there's always tweaks and ideas around making decisions about how to, you know, play this game. And I think a lot of the rule changes that we've seen in the last few years have something to do with safety. But there's some interesting things in there. Talk about, if you would, some of the rule changes that we're going to see in high school football across America this year.
I think the thing that will stand out to some of the fans, there are three big rule changes. I think you'll probably see two of them more than you'll see the third one. The first one that I think that you're really going to notice is they're really taking away the crackback blocks. If you've got a defender who, and they're calling them defenseless where they don't see it coming, you can only open hand block them. You can't lead with a shoulder, or you can't lead with a helmet. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty. As a matter of fact, the signal will be for the referee when he's making that signal to show the fans what the call is. He's going to bump two fists together.
Right.
That'll be the call. It'll be a 15-yard penalty. So they're really trying to take away that contact that the offensive player or defensive player doesn't see coming.
Right.
The other thing that you're going to see is there's no longer a face guarding penalty. So if you've got a receiver that is running down the field and you've got a defensive player that's put his hands up but hasn't turned back looking for the ball, it is going to be a legal play. That will no longer be a flag. Now, you still can't have contact.
Right.
That'll give you a pass interference. But as far as the, putting the hands up and not being able to look back, like I said, that'll be legal. The last thing that they have changed, and we don't see it so much at the high school level, and you see it some more so on the NFL, I guess you would say, when they do onside kicks, you can no longer do a pop kick. And what that is you'll see those NFL kickers, they will kick down on the ball really hard, and it just pops off the turf. Right, it doesn't really take skips. It immediately comes up. You know, you'll still be able to do your regular onside kick where it bounces two or three times and then has a big hop. That's still legal, but from the standpoint of what they call a pop kick, you'll no longer be able to do it. It'll be a 5-yard penalty, and they'll back you up, make you re-kick. So those are the three big ones. Obviously the first one is a concern. As a player, you're always, and as I was anyways, you were always looking for opportunities to have big hits,
right,
and things of that nature.
Right.
But they're really cracking down on those things. I will say this, the state of North Carolina is the second in the nation. A study came out last week, second in the nation. Well, all of the new rules and implications of everything that's going in, from the concussion standpoint, and it's not just from the referee standpoint, all of the things that the coaches are having to take, the online classes, each year we have to renew these things and go through all this training, and they're really pushing this in the state of North Carolina, and I think they should. I think it's something that, we need to be able to say this is what we're doing as a state, as a sanction to try to get ahead of these things and continue to help our sport grow.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Hometown Hardware has all you need to keep your yard looking its best. July's Hot Buy Tanaka Straight Shaft Trimmer for only $199.99. And Fight Your Ant Invasion with Taro Liquid Ant Bait for only $2.92 a package. And don't get bugged out with a 4-ounce Cutter Insect Repellent going for only $4.59. Save today at Hometown Hardware, your big box alternative. Now with 3 locations, one near you.
Smathers and Smathers, attorneys at law, are proud to sponsor the Brett Chapel Show. Pat and Zeb Smathers offer full legal services, including civil litigation, personal injury, domestic and criminal representation, as well as wills, estate planning, and real estate. Serving you from 118 Main Street in downtown Canton. Smathers and Smathers, attorneys at law. Call 648-8240.
This is Dr. Richard Jones of Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, a department of Pardee Hospital. I've been caring for Haywood County residents for more than 14 years, specializing in shoulder and sports medicine. Our orthopedic office in Waynesville is staffed by board-certified, fellowship-trained physicians with a weekday walk-in injury clinic. Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics proudly supports Pisgah High School athletics. For more information, go to PardeeHospital.org.
Again, back live this morning with the Brett Chapel Show. Pisgah opens up their regular season this Thursday night at Western Carolina University in that game again against Murphy out at Western. And certainly hope everyone can be out there. We'll have the game broadcast right here on AM 920 as well. Going back to those rule changes again, the one that stands out in my mind is, and you'll have to explain to me, the legalization again, I guess, of that face guarding rule. Why that rule? Why now?
You know, I really can't explain it. It was just something that came up and the association voted on, and it felt like it was a direction that they wanted to go with it. I like the rule. I think it's something probably that should have been done a long time ago. I come back to the one. I'm just concerned about the crackback block.
Yeah.
I understand why they're looking at it, but they're wanting you to come in on a block like that with your hands, and I just feel like you're more at risk to break something, break a wrist, you know, something like that. If you're coming in with a hand, they're trying to slow that contact down. And again, I understand why, but I do become concerned. I think you're going to see some of these flags thrown early. It's not going to be an ejection unless they deem it that you know, you were coming in with malicious intent. But I understand some of these things, but I am concerned about that one. I think you're going to see some of these flags early on, and then it's just going to be one of those things that we're going to have to get used to.
I still would argue there are still some things that I feel like there's some pretty big discrepancy between with regards to ruling at the college and the NFL level versus high school. I think there's some things that could be a little bit more severely looked at in terms of penalties. I always go back to pass interference on both sides. I go back to things like defensive holding on pass plays and how I'm not sure that there's enough of an advantage for the team that's having that happen to them. So I still think that there's probably some work to do. Otherwise, I guess what I'd ask is if you feel like you agree with that, or are there things that just really need to be overhauled right now?
You know, the big thing to me, and I had a chance to talk to Mark Dribulis, who's the head of our officials association, you know, and I just asked Mark, because Mark goes to these national conventions, and obviously he has a hand in the votes and all of those things, and I just asked him, I said, at some point, you know, are we going to be able to defend our sport and what we're doing? You know, it seems like we continue to take away and take away and take away, and, you know, as a dad, obviously being concerned for your kids, absolutely. But I think you've got to put your kids in the right places, doing things the right way. I feel like we have good programs here that are doing things the right way, and I feel like we're doing things to put our programs ahead of everybody else as far as these safety things are concerned. But again, I'm concerned that we don't have enough people defending our sport right now, and I think that is, you know, some of these low numbers are the reason for that. But again, you know, things will continue to change, and you know, you can't slow that down, but, you know, change with the times, and certainly I feel like we're doing that now. But, you know, I'm excited about where our program is. You know, I feel like our numbers are still really good. I just feel like we got some good quality kids in our program, and, you know, hopefully that'll make for a good season.
Well, and what I'm hearing you say, and I've heard you say this before in the past, you know, you're very optimistic, though, about you know, the long-term outcomes, and I'm going back to the overall game, the overall outcomes for this game that we all love. You know, you're optimistic and feel like that as the science continues to progress and our thinking and awareness continues to progress, you feel like that we can sustain what we're doing, that we can be playing the same, you know, the same sport very much like it is now 30 and 40 and 50 years down the road.
I certainly hope so. You know, it's something that so many, you know, obviously, and there's been some young ladies in it too, but for mental and building who they are,
right.
It just brings so much more to the table than just the football side of it. Certainly has helped mold and shape my life, you know, and I feel very fortunate to have been able to do the things that I was able to do as a player and those experiences and coaching and all of those things as well. And, you know, those things are still important to a lot of people, certainly me as well. And, you know, those things I hope that we are able to keep in place, you know, during my lifetime and beyond.
Yeah. Going back to this team, you know, at this point, what's your sense about the leadership piece and the cohesiveness? And you can talk about both programs, the varsity and JV program, but what are you seeing in terms of the leadership right now, and how tight, how cohesive is that group of really brothers up there right now?
You know, you got two really good groups. Obviously, this group of seniors, you know, had some really good success as what we call seniors of the JVs when they were sophomores. You know, obviously they're seniors now on the varsity level. Those guys have not lost at home in 2 years. You know, they didn't lose at home at JV season, right. And they didn't lose at home last year. So, you know, a lot of success for those guys that are seniors. Got some good leaders that have emerged that we felt like would. And it all started in the spring. All started in the weight room and how hard they worked and the time that they put in. The JV level, we're a little bit younger. We've got quite a few more freshmen that are playing, but good quality freshmen. I think we've done really well so far. We have really high expectations for that group of kids. You know, obviously a lot of success coming out of both middle schools last year. You know, and you bring those together with the sophomores that, you know, that were freshmen last year off of a really good team that was 9-1. So, you know, I think our program is right where I would like for it to be, as far as being consistent. You know, having these kids come in and being able to play at a high level, and, you know, keeping our program where it needs to be at.
We got, you know, real quickly as we finish up this morning, talk a little bit about the facility. I know that we still, you know, are working to get a new scoreboard installed and ready to go. I know there's some other things that we're going to be doing around the stadium before we, you know, have our first game. But and the, you know, we're going to be looking, I'm sure, at replacing the field turf pretty soon too. But the biggest thing, obviously, is that scoreboard right now. When you see that might be ready to go?
Well, it's something that I'm hopeful will get done as quickly as it can be. I'm a little frustrated like everybody else,
right.
Is. You know, I would love to have it up. But it'll get done as soon as they can get it done. I'm going to leave it at that as far as the scoreboard goes. We did have some other things that took place this summer. Got the air conditioned and new heating units put in the gym. So,
right.
So the gyms are air conditioned now, which right. was a huge project. I know the volleyball team finally got to practice in the gym on Friday.
Yeah.
So I know they're excited about getting in there, which I think will make it much better for the fans. Got a lot of things going on. I know the basketball program's got a fundraiser this morning down at the school, Drive for School, with Ken Wilson Ford. I think you come and drive a car and they donate $20 to the basketball program. So, you know, we're already getting started
yeah.
in getting our school year ready, but our sports year ready as well. So, again, just come out and help support our kids. And, you know, that's the one thing that's great about our community here. I can't say enough about this ball game on Thursday night. I'm just really excited about getting our kids in that stadium, you know, getting on that college field. You're going to be on TV. First game in the state of North Carolina. I don't think anybody else is playing on the Thursday
right.
night. And just a great opportunity to go in there and play against a great football team. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they were talking about, well, you know, talking about conferences in the state, and which conference do you think is the best, and all of these things. And I'm going to tell you right now, the best conference in the state of North Carolina is the Smoky Mountain Conference. When you've got over 30 state championships in football, sure, won in a conference, right, and nobody else can touch that.
Yeah.
And I know we've had success here at Pisgah in years past and all of those things, and people can talk about that MAC conference and all of those things, but year in and year out, that conference competes for state championships, and Murphy is right at the top. And you're looking at Swain and Robbinsville. And so we've certainly got our hands full. Very good program. Coach Gentry's been there for a long time. He coached when I played. So,
right,
you know, I've gone against him as a player, and I'll get to go against him as a coach for the first time.
Real quick, as we finish up again, JV game at Bethel Wednesday, not correct?
JV game will be at home.
Okay.
We'll be at home with or without the scoreboard. We have already talked to the officials, and we can do it without, but we will be at home down on the turf.
Okay. And then, of course, Thursday night will be at Western Carolina against Murphy. I believe our airtime here on WPTL is 6 o'clock with kickoff right after 7 o'clock. That's a TV game as well. For head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Until Thursday night, so long, everybody.